Chapter 33. Assault Team Leader Reskavlin ordered one of his glands to secrete a calming hormone as the frigate approached the enemy battlecruiser. So far, the humans had been reluctantly cooperative. Reluctant because they had delayed the engagement to the point where the 8th Fleet's commander sent a pair of destroyers down to escort Vleen's ship. Cooperative because the humans had pulled their battlecruiser up to a higher altitude when those destroyers were withdrawn to orbit. Vleen watched the scarred and battered battlecruiser approach, as if the frigate's hull and thick toxic atmosphere did not exist. The frigate sensors were feeding data directly to his ocular implants. He did not need his own genetically enhanced and partially cybernetic eyes. In fact, Vleen had his eyelids down to avoid distracting images. The image of the approaching target was merely background. He would not need to actually watch the events outside until the frigate's crew were bringing the nimble ship to close with the enemy. His focus was not on the enemy warship, nor on the section of hull his squad was to cut through to access the battlecruiser's interior. His focus was on the 7 members of his team and on the leaders of the 5 other assault teams. In addition to the 48 assault troops, the little frigate was crammed with the 17-person crew, 9 extra technicians to assist with damage control, plus 5 artificial intelligence experts who controlled the most powerful weapons of the assault force, devices that could hack into and take over any Maxulx-built vessel. Supposedly, they could do that, Vleen reminded himself with a healthy measure of skepticism. The target ship was controlled by humans who had an elder AI helping them. He thought it unlikely that ship's original AI still existed, or that the architecture of the substrate was anything even remotely familiar to the experts who were assigned to hack into it. The idea that they could take back the battlecruiser simply by accessing its main computer was almost silly. Yet those were his orders. The orders were contradictory and odd. It was the first time he had been instructed that failure was an option. In fact, failure was the fallback position. The target ship was perilously close to the bottom of the planet's atmosphere. If it was seriously damaged, it could fall down into the thick layer of ice below and possibly melt all the way down to the world's rocky core. Admiral Reichert had called Vleen personally to emphasize that loss of the target ship would not only cause failure of the mission, it could mean extinction for every sentient being in the galaxy. So there was no pressure on Reskavlin. His task was to gain access to the target ship and take control of it. A secondary objective was to determine whether an elder AI was aboard the enemy ship, though to call that a secondary goal was silly. If his team could seize the ship, that meant there was not an elder AI aboard. Certainly not a functional one. The frigate shook, and its nose dipped alarmingly. Vleen felt the artificial gravity fluctuate, and he felt momentarily lighter, then heavier. A message, fed directly into his cranial implant, warned that the small ship was experiencing difficulty holding a steady course. The ship's crew thought the odds of returning to orbit were slim. There was supposedly a backup plan for a cruiser to dip down into the atmosphere to rescue the frigate's crew. Everyone had a good laugh when they heard about that. Vleen's thoughts were interrupted by a message from the frigate's captain.
Docking protocols confirmed. We are on final approach.
On a command from Vleen, the inner airlock door slid open. The chamber that held his team had already been pressurized by slowly allowing the air outside to leak in. If he had set the helmet's faceplate to clear and looked with his own eyes, he would have seen a yellowish mist swirling in the chamber. It was not necessary to ask his team if they were ready. He could see the status of each soldier in his mind. He asked for a verbal check anyway to let the team know he was in command of the situation and, to be truthful, to calm his own nerves. The frigate shook again. This time, the status feed showed the motion was from thrusters firing to make fine adjustments to line up for docking with the enemy ship. The agreement with the humans was for the frigate to perform a hard docking with the big battlecruiser. It was not possible for a dropship to enter a docking bay while the ghost ship was flying through thick atmosphere at supersonic speed. 3 points on the battlecruiser's hull were designed for the frigate to latch on without damaging either ship. Then the frigate was supposed to extend a flexible collar to access one and only one airlock.
the assault teams did not plan to use airlocks to get aboard the target ship. Skippy, Smythe reminded himself to relax his grip on the rifle. The suit's powered gloves would not allow him to damage vital equipment, but it was good practice to be careful with a mech suit. Powered armor could hurt him if he wasn't paying close attention. Do you know where they... If you're asking which breach points the enemy plans to use, I don't know yet, the AI answered peevishly. There are too many variables. The boarding teams will make a judgment call once the frigate has securely latched onto our hull. The crew of that ship is barely able to control it. Smythe ground his teeth, one part of him that was not augmented by artificial muscles. We understand that. The synthetic vision of his visor showed the enemy frigate was less than 100 meters away and approaching steadily. The smaller ship was unsteady, buffeted by air swirling around the battlecruiser's hull. Neither ship had been designed to be aerodynamically smooth because starships are not supposed to dip into the atmosphere of a planet. That is why they were provided with dropships. I can tell you that these points are the most likely. Skippy highlighted two areas around Valkyrie's forward pressure hull and six back in the engineering section. Thank you, Smythe muttered. His teams were well positioned to defend breaches in those eight areas. Hopefully, the enemy would not attack at more than 3 or 4 points. He had teams positioned to defend the most vital areas of the ship, plus 3 teams in reserve to be repositioned as needed. Failure, as Bishop reminded him, was not an option. That was nothing unusual. It was unusual to be faced with 2 possible modes of failure. They could fail to give Valkyrie a chance to escape, or they could face the ultimate failure. The loss of Skippy and extinction of all intelligent life in the galaxy. As the final seconds counted down to the enemy ship making hard contact, Jeremy Smythe was reminded of something he had said to Katie Frey. The star teams assigned to the Alien Legion might see more action, but ST Alpha aboard Valkyrie would get the missions that meant life or death for humanity. Just once he wished he was wrong about that. When the frigate made the final course correction to bring it into contact with the battlecruiser, the enemy crew either lost control of their ship or they didn't want to risk Valkyrie dodging out of the way. The docking maneuver was a crash that shook both ships and would have knocked Smythe off his feet if he hadn't been secured to the bulkhead. For a sickening moment, Valkyrie's nose rose then dipped wildly, sending Smythe's stomach into flip-flops. When thrusters fired to stabilize the two-ship formation, the deck was still pointed slightly downward, and the ship yawed side to side unpredictably. Then there was a muffled bang that Smythe felt through his armored boots. Breach near frame 167, lateral row 18. Skippy reported information that was already available in the visor of every member of ST Alpha. Frey, Smythe eye clicked for straps to release him from the bulkhead. You're up. Reskavlin was not held in place by anything like crude fabric straps. His people used suspensor fields for that purpose. The fields surrounded him evenly, avoiding the problem of straps placing a load on a small area. Fields also lacked latch mechanisms that could be balky and refuse to release at the wrong time. The greatest advantage of a suspensor field was that it could be directly controlled by the individual it protected, allowing Vleen to move safely while the ship was still rocking wildly. He watched as the 7 members of his team advanced in a pre-programmed maneuver while the powerful cutting tool outside burned through a section of the battlecruiser's hull. The possibilities for gaining access to the enemy ship were limited. Most of the hull was covered with thick armor panels that were too resistant to the cutting tool. Using enough energy to burn through armor plating would have risked damaging the enemy ship, which Vleen was specifically ordered not to do. The impact when the frigate latched on was worse than Vleen expected. He thought the pilots must have lost control at the last second. No matter. The two ships were now bonded together, and it was now his task to perform the mission. The lights flickered, along with his sensor feed, and the suspensor fields at the moment the ship shuddered from a secondary impact. His team was flung around inside the airlock, smashing into the walls and each other.
The suspensor field in the airlock was making the situation worse, surging in power and throwing the soldiers side to side as they struggled to hold on to something, anything.
Enough! Vleen roared, sending a signal to cut power to the fields. The team slumped to the deck, dazed.
In his internal monitor, he could see that two soldiers were injured, their suits damaged from colliding with each other. Silently, he pinged each of the now ineffective suits to put them into recovery mode while designating those two soldiers as reserves. Grudgingly, but quickly, they moved aside to allow the others forward toward the outer airlock door, which slammed aside into its recess. In front of them was a hole into the interior of the enemy ship where a sensor blister used to be. The sides of the hole glowed hotly orange, melted slag scraping off as the boarding team soared forward and bounced off the walls. A drone preceded the assault team, providing a view of the enemy ship, a ship that looked entirely familiar to Vleen. Of course it did. The battlecruiser was a Maxulk's ship, a stolen ship. He felt a flash of anger, grateful for the calming effect of the hormone in his blood. The other team members were under the influence of stimulants both secreted by glands and injected by their suits. Those soldiers had their strength and reflexes augmented by the stims, making them even more dangerous. Vleen's role was not to fight, nor to engage the enemy directly. As leader, his role was to observe, to make judgment calls, to determine how best to achieve their objectives. For that, he needed to think calmly and rationally. Which is easier to do when someone was not shooting at him. The instant his boots contacted the deck of the enemy ship, his armor rattled from the impact of explosive-tipped rounds, and one soldier was flung back past him, hit in the chest by an armor-piercing rocket. Vleen's cranial implant instantly identified the source of incoming fire as a Therenan Combat, the standard shipboard model. The implant also warned him that this particular Combat had been modified in unknown and possibly dangerous ways. His soldiers reacted without needing orders, taking out the enemy combat machine in a flurry of gunfire. Whatever modified capabilities that Combat had, they did not extend to protection from Maxulk's infantry weapons. The soldier who had been struck by the rocket sprang to her feet, shaking her head, and flashing an upward chop sign with one hand, signaling she was combat effective. Her suit's point defense cannons had detonated the rocket's warhead before it contacted her and activated an energy field to deflect the superheated stream of plasma before it could burn through the tough armor plating. Knowing her suit needed time to recharge from the prodigious use of energy, she limped to the back of the formation, just as a pair of Combats appeared around a corner to blast the team with every weapon they could fire.
Well, Vleen thought to himself, I did not expect this to be easy.
Fall back, Smythe ordered Chaudhry's squad.
The four Combats controlled by Chaudhry's people had been almost casually wiped out by the enemy boarders, who were now advancing cautiously but steadily. Two of the enemy were hanging back, one with a clearly serious injury from being struck by simultaneous fire from two Combats. Massed heavy armor was the only tactic that even slowed the enemy down. Unfortunately, Smythe had to be very careful with heavy weapons. Three of the boarding teams were near vital equipment. Of course they were. That equipment is what the Maxulks wanted to secure control of. Chaudhry acknowledged with two clicks of a microphone. Smythe could see those people retreating to their designated secondary cover position.
Frey.
He turned his attention to the star unit that was defending the single breach in Valkyrie's pressure hull.
You two, pull your team back.
The response was a chatter of rifle fire and the whoosh of rockets launching. Frey had lost five of six Combats assigned to her team. Smythe recognized the sound of rockets as the smaller units mounted under the barrel of the modified Kristang rifles used by Stars.
Frey, pull back now.
Another sustained volley of rifle fire. Smythe could see in his visor that all 12 members of Frey's squad were concentrating their fire on one target.
Got him. Squad, fall back.
Smythe was pleased to see Frey's squad retreating in good order, fire teams of soldiers providing cover as another team pulled back through their position. He was pleased to see that two of the enemy there were hard kills, dead for certain. He was not pleased to see Frey pause to pump two rockets back down the passageway before she, too, ran back around a corner for cover.
"Sir," she gasped, out of breath.
"The enemy cut into a bulkhead to expose cabling. They were plugging in some type of device. We stopped them cold."
"Major, stick to the plan in the future."
"Yes, sir." "Damn it, they're coming at us already. Squad, fall back!"
Despite unexpectedly suffering 5 soldiers killed and 7 wounded badly enough to render them ineffective, Vleen was proud to see he was slightly ahead of schedule. Whatever technologies the humans had acquired, their infantry was using Kristang-powered armor and weapons. That both surprised and pleased him. The humans had no realistic chance of stopping his teams from gaining complete control of the battlecruiser, from retaking their own ship. A stolen ship.
"Reska," a soldier pinged their leader by rank. "We have access to the ship's internal network. The leader of their defense force is in front of us."
Vleen did not hesitate.
"Advance and destroy."
"Skippy!"
Smythe ejected a spent magazine from his rifle and slapped a fresh one in place.
Yeah, hold your horses," the AI grumbled. "I'm doing the best I can here. Do better."
A shadow appeared on his visor, possibly an enemy soldier or a ghost caused by Maxalt's spoofing of his suit's sensors. He could not take the risk of inaction, so he fired a burst at the shadow, which did not shoot back. Smythe had just given away his position for nothing. Ducking to the side and rolling, he got to his feet just as enemy fire shredded the bulkhead where he had been standing moments before. Another indistinct shadow. This one did shoot before Smythe could aim his own rifle. Dodging to the left desperately, he felt shrapnel kick his feet, and he fell hard, bouncing off the deck.
"A little help here," he grunted.
Okay, Skippy sniffed.
"The bad guys have committed their reserves to exploit our weakness. Their entire assault team is now aboard Valkyrie."
Smythe got on his back and kicked with feet that felt numb, launching himself upright and spinning to...
Stop.
A powerful hand grasped him around the throat, squeezing his armor there with crushing force, while another power-enhanced glove bent the barrel of his rifle, tearing it out of his grip. The grip on his neck tightened. Smythe could feel his armor buckling under the pressure. It stopped. Another figure came out of the shadows.
"Leave this one to me,"
the new figure ordered, and Smythe realized he could understand the alien. That Maxalt's must be transmitting in the clear, so he could hear. He allowed his faceplate to go clear so the alien could look at him, though the other soldier's helmet was a fuzzy, indistinct mix of colors that blended into the background. Until that faceplate also went clear, dropping the chameleon wear effect.
"Human," the angry face growled. "This violence is pointless. Order your people to stop fighting."
Smythe stared into his opponent's eyes.
"Sawed off, you cheeky bugger."
The alien's eyes grew wide when it heard the translation, then the eyes narrowed, and it growled,
"I will make an example of you."
The grip around the star team leader's neck made the armor there buckle, and there was a shrieking sound as air leaked out.
"Too late,"
Smythe gasped.
"Skippy! Now!"
The alien soldier went rigid as his powered armor's computer locked up, losing control over the suit. Automatically, the gloves returned to their rest position, and Smythe stepped back as the Maxalt's toppled forward to faceplant on the deck.
"Thank you, Skippy,"
Smythe gasped, swallowing carefully. It felt like his Adam's apple was fractured. The hissing of his suit's escaping air slowed as nanogel flowed in to plug the gap.
"Are you okay?"
the AI asked with uncharacteristic concern.
"You have,"
he paused to catch his breath,
"access to my biomonitors, don't you?"
"That doesn't tell me how you feel, Jeremy."
"I feel fine."
"Aha. You feel like shit, then?"
"Something like that."
Smythe had to laugh, then took a deep breath.
"Chaudhry, secure the prisoners. Frey, seize that damned ship."
"Aye, aye,"
Frey replied, amused.
"Skippy,
The enemy are all immobilized.
The figure on the deck and the other soldiers of the boarding party were rocking gently side to side, more than from the motion caused by the erratic flight of the battlecruiser.
Their suits are immobile, Skippy cautioned. They are trying to move around inside their armor. I am instructing their glands to secrete hormones to calm them and make them sleepy, but they are hyped up on their version of adrenaline, so prepare for them to be feisty for a while.
Feisty? We'll see about that. Kneeling down, he rolled the boarding team leader on his back, keeping his own boots out of the way as the heavy armor thumped on the deck.
You seem to be having a spot of bother with your armor.
He tapped the clear faceplate as the alien within snarled and screamed at him, flecks of spittle appearing on the inside of the composite material.
Don't worry. I'm sure we can find a set of booster cables around here somewhere.
On the bridge, feeling useless but trying to appear in complete command of the situation, I watched the main display, which was showing a feed from Major Frey's mech suit helmet. She was on the frigate's bridge, which was interesting by itself. Normally, the Maxulk's command crew was in a sophisticated chamber where they floated in suspensor fields and controlled the ship through cybernetic implants with holographic displays surrounding them as backup to information fed directly into their brains. This crew was on the bridge of their ship where they relied on the crude method of pressing physical buttons like we primitive humans did. Not having a networked computer system aboard the frigate had forced them to rely on secondary controls. That was interesting. It explained why the ships in the ambush force seemed slow and clumsy compared to the ships we fought against in hit-and-run attacks back when Valkyrie was a ghost ship. Major Frey, I called her directly, bypassing the usual chain of command in the star team. Smythe was busy with his own task, that of racing around the frigate to lock down that ship's self-destruct devices. Skippy had given me a solid schmaybe that he had control of the frigate, but not a gold-plated schmaybe. He also hinted that it might be a sensible precaution to physically remove the data feeds to the self-destruct charges, so Smythe and half of the stars were frantically doing that. Frey had her squad rounding up the frigate's crew, while Chaudhry's people were stacking the members of the failed boarding teams in a cargo bay we set aside as a temporary brig.
Sir? Frey answered with an irritated tone.
The last thing she needed was some jerk sitting in a comfortable chair looking over her shoulder while she worked. The jerk, being me, understood that.
Don't bother jacking those remote modules into the data ports. Skippy says he has infiltrated all the systems he needs.
Sir, it only takes...
I know that. Round up the kiddies and get out of there ASAP. That's an order.
Sometimes the jerk sitting in a comfortable chair has a better view of the overall situation.
Yes, sir.
Skippy?
Hey, I'm working here, he protested.
Work faster. Do you have control of that ship or not?
I have control of everything I need to fly it remotely. It is a sweet little ship. Maybe we should keep it.
I rolled my eyes.
It is not a puppy that followed you home, Skippy. The answer is no.
But can you guarantee the native AI will not try to kill us the second you lose contact with it?
No. We also probably do not have time for me to create, install, test, and debug a new AI, darn it.
Now you're being sensible.
Colonel,
Chen called from the pilot couch. I could see beads of sweat on her forehead. It was a strain keeping Valkyrie from flipping over and plunging straight down while the dead weight of the frigate was connected to our hull.
I hear you. Skippy, how long until Smythe is done?
10-15 minutes, depending.
Tell him to take 15. We need the job done right, not just fast. Chen, will that work for you?
Yes, sir.
32 minutes later, the frigate was empty of biological beings, and Skippy declared we were ready to get the damned thing off Valkyrie's back. Chen put our battleship in a gentle dive, then Skippy fired up the frigate's engines and blew the grappling clamps that held the two ships together. There was a gut-churning moment when the frigate's nose scraped along Valkyrie's spine, and we feared the stupid thing would collide with one of our reactors. But Skippy fired thrusters and got it straightened out, and later review showed these really had not been any danger. I wish my bladder had known that at the time. Less than an hour after the attempted boarding operation, the frigate was flying in formation, 3 kilometers directly above us.
Smythe reported the prisoners were all milling around in an agitated fashion in the cargo bay after Skippy commanded their suits to crack open so the kiddies could get out. All their weapons had been taken away. The weapons built into the suits had been removed or physically disabled. The reservoirs of nanogel dissolved into a dusty gray goo. Their cybernetic implants had been scrambled, leaving them able to see, speak, and listen with only their physical senses, just like we primitive humans do. That had to piss them off. We had learned a lot since we first encountered alive Max Oltz in the Roach Motel, and by we, I mean Skippy. That group of prisoners were not going to cause any problems for us, and that wasn't a threat of retaliation. They simply were not able to do anything that could harm us, and they knew it. Anyway, I had a brief meeting with Smythe to review the recent action. The Stars had suffered no serious injuries, a result of careful and skillful planning by Smythe and the professionalism and training of his team. That was an outstanding success, Smythe, I assured him. He gave me a side eye. The operation isn't over yet, sir. We won't know whether it was a success until... Yes, I meant you and your team did your part with remarkable precision. I will convey your words to the team, sir. Excellent. It's time, I pointed to the ceiling, to talk to the jerk upstairs. Smythe was right. We prevented the kiddies from boarding and taking control of Valkyrie. That part of the operation was a success. Skippy had not been lying when he told me he couldn't take control of the ships in orbit. Between his temporarily reduced level of awesomeness, the distance to the enemy ships, and the security measures they'd taken to prevent hacking of their computers, he couldn't do anything useful against the blockade above us. The Maxalks did not know the extent of Skippy's capabilities. They also were not taking any chances with being exposed to a clearly powerful Elder AI. We saw that ships of the blockading force rotated every 19 hours. Those ships in low orbit, keeping pace directly over our heads, climbed to high orbit, and were replaced by ships that had recently completed an exhaustive diagnostic testing of their computer substrates. The ships that climbed away powered down one system after another, purging and rebooting the computers to assure they had not been infected. Before ships could return to low orbit, they were thoroughly scanned by three command ships that had specialized cybersecurity equipment. Like I said, the kiddies were not taking any chances. Except with the frigate they sent down to rendezvous with us. That ship was vulnerable to Skippy once it got close enough and he had time to infiltrate every bit of computer memory. We allowed the boarding teams to enter Valkyrie because it was easier and safer to seize them here instead of on their own turf. Skippy scrambled the computers of their mech suits and the crash suits worn by the frigate's crew, rendering them unable to move. That was all great, and for once, everything went pretty much according to plan. But that was only the beginning of what we had to do. We needed that frigate and its crew so we could have a chance to escape. We had the enemy ship. We had the crew. Now I had to make both of them useful to us so we could escape. Back on the bridge, I hesitated before opening direct communication with Admiral Reichert. Skippy, are there going to be any surprises you haven't warned me about? Like what, Joe? That frigate exploding and falling on our heads, something like that. No. Okay. I allowed myself to relax a bit. That's good to... Of course, if it was a surprise, then, by definition, I wouldn't know about it either. Duh. Oh, for... A whole lot of bad shit could happen. I mean, wow, just counting the stuff that I sort of do know about, we could be in huge trouble, if anything. Thank you, Skippy, I said through clenched teeth. Some of the crew were staring at me in horrified shock. It helped that next to me, Sims held up her hands in a gesture of, "Don't worry, this shit is totally normal," to calm everyone's nerves. All I meant is you haven't kept a surprise to spring on us later, so we'll all be amazed at your awesomeness? No. Joe, I am hurt that you would think, sorry. Although, he muttered to himself, "That is a great idea. I need to make note of..." Shaking a fist at him, I snapped. "It is a terrible idea, and you should never do that." "Oh, right. I would never do something like that. Of course not." Before I could open my mouth to reply, Sims tapped my hand. She looked toward the ceiling. I got the message. Arguing with Skippy was a complete waste of time. Also, Talking to him only gave him more bad ideas.
Great.
Okay, time to talk to the jackass upstairs. Jamming a thumb down on the transmit button, I took a breath.
Hey, Admiral Riker, this is Bishop. Thank you so much for the frigate. That was a very thoughtful gift. I even like the color. Although, whew, you could have tossed in a couple air fresheners. The inside of that ship stinks like someone hasn't changed the kitty litter in a long time, you know?
The translator made the barely audible tone it did when the person on the other end was speaking, but the translation computer was having trouble processing it.
Skippy, what's he saying?
My guess is the Admiral is adding a variety of new and exciting curse words to their language.
Well, it is heartwarming to think we are contributing to their cultural development.
Skippy chuckled.
I don't think he is happy about it.
Yes, well, screw him. I saw heads nodding in agreement with that sentiment. Reichert must have calmed himself down because the translator went silent, then,
I am pleased to hear that you are amused by the situation.
The translator must have been busted because it sure did not sound like he was pleased about anything.
Is there anything else I can do for you today?
Hey, since you asked, could you suffer a slow and horribly painful death? That would be great.
The translator made the confused buzzing tone again. Sims leaned toward me.
I don't think he's in a mood to accommodate you on that one, sir.
I shrugged. That never hurts to ask.
Reichert must have squirted himself with calming hormones, or he took a big hit off a bong filled with catnip, because when he spoke again, he was purely professional.
Colonel Bishop, I acknowledge that you have control of my frigate. This means the Elder AI is aboard your ship?
Large and in charge, baby,
Skippy boasted. Yeah, keep it down, please. I waved a hand.
Hey, I am Skippy the Magnificent, dammit. Those kitties need to...
Later. I cut him off with a knife hand.
Admiral Reichert, you are correct. Skippy is with us, and he is...
Awesome,
Skippy sang. Lifting my thumb off the transmit button, I jabbed a finger at the avatar.
Can you please shut the hell up for 5 minutes?
Okay, jeez Louise, I'll be quiet. Taking a breath, I rested my thumb back on the button.
Admiral, since you did not ask about the status of your crew, we have them. I am saddened to report there were 9 fatalities, all on your side.
Somehow, the sarcasm was clear even through the translation.
I doubt that you are distressed about that.
Bullshit. I do regret the deaths of your crew members. They didn't have to die. You and I are the commanders. We are responsible for the safety of our people. I told you Skippy is with us. You chose not to believe me and sent your people down here to die for nothing.
They were honored to give their lives for the hegemony.
His tone stiffened. Too bad we can't ask them how they feel about it now. Admiral, this discussion is getting off track. We still have a stalemate.
A temporary stalemate. You can't keep your ship down there forever. My people are running simulations of how long an extinction-class battlecruiser can remain submerged in a toxic...
Clearly, your people do not know all the upgrades we performed after we stole this ship from you, so I wouldn't be too confident about their estimates.
Regardless.
He was sounding irritated again. Maybe he needed another hit of catnip.
The situation is a stalemate. We have total supremacy of this battle space, while your ship cannot jump from your position.
Yeah, well, maybe we have more surprises for you. Let's put that aside for now. I would like to offer a gesture of our good faith. We have no quarrel with your people. You attacked us. All we wish is to be left in peace.
You wish to upset the balance of power that has kept the peace in this galaxy for...
Hey, pal, you may want to recheck the definition of peace. You and the spiders have been nice and comfortable for millennia while your clients do all the fighting and dying.
Wait!
Another breath to calm myself down. I don't want to argue.
What I want is to return your crew.
You do?
If the translator was accurate, he was genuinely caught off guard. Yes. Admiral, in the future, we need to negotiate rules of engagement between our peoples, including the humane treatment of prisoners. Hearing myself talk, I wondered how well the word humane would translate. The ethical treatment of prisoners, I added for clarity.
Very well. I am listening.
Good. I propose to send your people back to orbit in 2 dropships, which will be remotely controlled by Skippy. We will be keeping their weapons and mech suits, and conditions aboard the dropships will be crowded. He didn't immediately respond. Then,
Colonel Bishop, I am told your people have a legend about a Trojan horse.
Hey, I understand you are concerned about a booby trap. Once our dropships are in orbit, you can do what you want with your people to assure they are not carrying concealed weapons or whatever. The point is, they will be your responsibility.
What about the dropships?
They will be deorbited and destroyed once your people have been removed. I am not taking any risk that you will plant booby traps inside those ships.
A sensible precaution. Very well. I need time to consider your proposal and to make arrangements for decontamination. What about my frigate?
I want to go water skiing later, so we need a speedboat. We're keeping it. The wheels in his mind must have been grinding away, trying to guess my intentions.
Bishop, when you attempt to escape, you will make me guess whether your ship or my frigate has the Elder AI.
Gosh, I never thought of that. That's a good idea, I muttered. Let me write that down.
Don't waste your time. I will not hesitate to destroy both ships.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Call me when you make up your freaking mind, okay?